141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Greg Docherty and Jamie Murphy look set to be on their way out of Rangers as the Scottish Cup looms. Patrick Klimala is ready to fight to be Celtic's top striker, and Ibrox youngster Zach Rudden signs for Partick Thistle. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi.
Yeah, the transfer window's hotting up. Gordon, as you say there, Celtic spending £3.5 million yesterday on Klimala. Rangers still trimming the squad, getting the wage bill down, but I also think it's a process to free up wages to bring in that one special player that Steven Gerrard is looking for sometime over the next 2 weeks, and we'll see a lot more movement. And it's back, the big teams are back this weekend, William Hill Scottish Cup, some tasty ties, and we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's the transfer window is hotting up for the big clubs, but clubs like myself, my head's sore buying against a brick wall, you know, let me tell you. So yeah, if you've got a bit of money, it's great. If you've got no money, it's a tough time, Gordon.
We are, I think, Wednesday of this week, you can officially turn your attentions to the return of the top flight teams in the Scottish Cup, Jim. It's one of the special fixture cards of the season, really. It always stands out. You take your Dumbarton side to Aberdeen. There are various other fixtures in there that are really exciting.
Yeah, I mean, I think, as I said, but when you're with a smaller club, you know, the players always look forward to it. I mean, winning the last tie, you know, I mean, that's what they all look for, obviously. Mm. I know, like, you know, the lower league clubs, you know, everybody always looks to see, can they get the glamour tie? Obviously, Stranraer playing Rangers on Friday night gives them an unbelievable profile. I mean, extremely tough tie, as everybody would know that. But for those Stranraer players and for Stevie Farrell, the manager, said, on its own, a Scottish Cup tie against Rangers, they might never get that opportunity again. So it's a fantastic occasion, even if it's a daunting one.
The winter break serves a number of purposes, Mark Guidi. I know it's not everyone's cup of tea, but in many ways you get the impression from social media, from the phone calls, it's a case of absence making the heart grow fonder. It's almost like everyone is chomping at the bit. If their team has been dormant for the last 2 weeks, they're just desperate for some football.
Oh, look, I like the winter break. I've always been a fan of it. There won't be a perfect 2 or 3 week break to take, but there, for example, there could have been a number of top flight games off this weekend or last weekend there, as was the case with the lower leagues. But I think it gives players that wee rest, whether they go to Dubai or they go down to Lasbo, it's just, it gives them a wee rest, gives them a week at this time of year that we all like. Gives the referees a rest as well, gives the pitches a rest, and gives the fans a chance. I know some fans say, but they cram in 8 or 9 games in December, so it's defeating the purpose. But I think it just gives the fans a chance as well in terms of their wallets, just to take a wee rest as well. And because we've got such a league race on and we're getting back into the Scottish Cup this weekend, as you said, it whets the appetite. Everybody's really getting going for it to get started.
In many ways, the tie of the round, you could argue, is East Kilbride against BSC, because it's two Lowland League sides and one of them is guaranteed to be in the Scottish Cup fifth round. Just think what that could mean to either of those sides. And I'm pleased to say, after 7 o'clock, we're going to be joined by both managers and we'll take a look at that and everything that goes along with that fascinating fixture this weekend. But in the meantime, 01419511025 in the phones, at Clyde SSB on Twitter. Let's hear from you. This is your chance to have your say on everything that's going on regarding your team at the moment. Signings, lack of signings, players in, players out, you tell us. Get in touch on the phones or on Twitter. The news this afternoon is mostly centering around Rangers, but mostly about players heading to that exit. Mm-hmm. So Greg Docherty and Jamie Murphy potentially set for loans to Sunderland and Burton Albion respectively. Rangers fans, what do you make of that? 01419511025. In terms of the names, Mark, I don't think that's much of a surprise.
In terms of going out,
guys that haven't had
they
much
need to
team time
play football. You know, Greg Docherty had a very successful loan at Shrewsbury Town last season, made a good name for himself down south. I think he picked up the Shrewsbury Player of the Year awards, and there's a big FA Cup tie as well. So I've always liked Greg Docherty. I've said in this show often enough, when he's back playing with Hamilton Accies, good young midfielder. I think eventually he will make an impact at Rangers, but I think it's right that he goes out. Sunderland, massive club, chance to go and help them make promotion into the Championship. For Jamie Murphy, always a top player, really, really unlucky with a serious injury he got at Rangers, but going down to Burton Albion, Nigel Clough, again, you know, I think it's a good move for the guys, and you can see why Rangers want to do it as well, if it frees up some money for
so
them.
So you don't think this is necessarily the end of the road for Greg Docherty then? Because sometimes that's the conclusion people jump to when they see another loan.
No, I don't think so, because he's young now. Unless he does really well in Sunderland or another English club come in and say, you know, we'll give you £2 million or something for him in the summer if he does well, or whatever means, I might think, well, it's decent money and we'll let him go. But no, I think from the Greg Docherty I remember, the talent that he has, the age that he's at, Rangers as his club, then, you know, I would think that he would be back there in the summer, ready to go and try and make a go of it.
Loans can work both ways, Jim. Yes, it can be a sign that you are heading out of a club, or if you are Ryan Christie, for instance, and I just use that example because it's the most high profile one recently, it can be the springboard to come back in and kickstart yourself at
the
current club.
You need a break somewhere along the line. We speak many times about the Ryan Christie situation, you know, the players that Celtic had on that day, and then get injured and he gets the opportunity against Hearts, and then his career's completely transformed. I disagree with him. I don't see it happening for Greg Docherty. I just think there's been plenty of opportunities in the sense of being there long enough under, although being out on loan, but the opportunities for Steven Gerrard to bring him back. So I just don't see that happening. And again, if you look with Jamie Murphy, he's got to get in play. But Rangers in recent years have moved on young players like Ryan Hardy, Zach Rudden just away to Partick Thistle. So I see Greg Docherty. Yeah, if he goes to Sunderland, they may well buy him if they get into the playoffs or get a chance to get promoted. But I'd be majorly surprised if he could make an impact as a Rangers player. Now, even though I like him, I'm with Mark, I think he's a terrific young player. But you need an opening, you need a pathway, and I just don't think there is one at this moment in time, and I don't think there will be one in the short to medium
term. Rangers have got to listen. First and foremost, you've got to win games of football. They've got to be successful. That's what Steven Gerrard needs to do to keep his job. But there's also got to be a pathway created at the club, Duff. You know, and I know I'm saying you just create it for the sake of creating it. But you look at what Celtic have created. You look at Rangers, your Alan McGregor's, your Alan Hutton's, your Barry Ferguson's, brilliant players for the club, made them a lot of money in transfer fees as well. But you're maybe going back 10, 15, 20 years ago. So Rangers, as much as they need to try and be successful, and they do, but they also need to create that identity of allowing their players to be given a chance.
Okay, two ways for you to get in touch tonight. The first one is the traditional method on the phone, 01419511025. And if you would rather tweet, we'll take that as well, at Clyde SSB. James is in Paisley, first up tonight. He is a Rangers fan. What do you make of today's news, James?
We'll see what happens with the boy. But that's all good and well. A bit of training up for him. I can't really see him getting into the team the new, so that's good news.
The guys have been sort of debating, they're a bit split on it. Mark thinks that Greg Docherty could actually go, benefit, come back and have an impact at Rangers. Jim thinks possibly not. What's your own take on it?
I don't really see Greg Docherty getting into the team the new, because Ryan Jack and Kamara, who is the position that Docherty would be playing in, are playing out their skin now, and their mainstays in the team. But I really do see Greg Docherty has been one for the future, and I actually see him as a possible Rangers captain in the future, because the boy's that good. Any time I've seen him play, he's never let us down, you know. So I think the mayor gets to play with big teams and gets a wee bit more experience about him, definitely one for the future. I wouldn't like to see him go on a permanent deal, that's for sure.
What about generally in that area of the pitch, Jim? Because teams always want to carry a bit of strength and depth if they can. Rangers will have moved on Andy King and presumably Greg Docherty from that area. Does that mean they need to get someone else, or were they carrying so many in that area that will be left alone?
Yeah, well, Scott Arfield's dropped into that midfield role as well. You've got Stephen Davis, you've got Joe Aribo, you know, you've got Kamara, you've got Jack. You know, there's plenty of options
enough,
in there, you know, and I think, you know, there's probably one or two others as well. I know Edmondson can go in as a holding midfield player if required, although he's a centre-back. So there are players, Andy Halliday, as far as I know, is still there. So, you know, there's still a number of players there and amongst wingers who they still have at the club, that Barker and Stewart and stuff like that. So, yeah, I think they've got enough in there. And like Mark said, losing a few from the wages and freeing up some. Listen, they won't all be taken care of. There'll be a percentage of the wages. But, you know, reducing that will definitely help if Steven Gerrard finds that one player that he spoke about that might come in and make an impact.
It's not the be-all and end-all, Mark, but sometimes it is interesting to look at which club a lone player goes to. Sunderland are a massive club, particularly in that division. Maybe you just get that, you know, if you're choosing between them and, say, another smaller League One club, you don't get that same pressure to win every week, playing in front of a big crowd. So even that type of thing might just play into the equation. It might benefit the player.
It will, because I say he's got League One experience from doing very, very well with Shrewsbury Town last season for the full year, Greg Docherty. So going to Sunderland, playing in front of, I think they're seventh in the table now, Burton Albion, who Jamie Murphy's probably going to earn sixth in the table. So, you know, potentially as we get into the second half of the season, if Sunderland are still up in that position, you're potentially playing in front of 40,000 every week. And for me, that won't faze a player such as Greg Docherty. So I think those reasons you mentioned too won't do him any harm at all. And you know, if you think is it a sink or swim situation for him, I think he'll come out of it swimming. I don't see him going under. I think he'll do really well.
James, this focus on moving players out and perhaps creating a bit of freedom with regards to the wages, I don't know the exact arrangement. Rangers will probably still pick up a portion of the wage. You can imagine though it being with a view to Rangers adding something. What would you like to see them add with these players going out the door, James?
I'd like to see them break the bank for Lauren Shankland right now, because inevitably in the summer we're going to be moving Alfredo on for big money. And I think if we got Lauren Shankland in for, say, $2 million, it's good money for Dundee United. They would snap your hand off for $2 million. And if we get what's bandied about $10-15 million for Fredo in the summer, then it's pennies at the end of the day. And Lauren Shankland, I see him as a Chris Boyd type character, a proven goal scorer who will score goals for years to come. And if he learns after the best through after Fredo and after Jermaine Defoe for the next 6 months, he'll be a better player by the end of the 6 months. And if he gets in and out of the team, maybe in a cup or whatever, or substitute appearances in the league for home and dry, all the best for him. But I think we'll take him the news, because we won't get him in the summer, that's for sure.
Jim, this stuff won't go away until such times as Lauren Shankland stops banging in goals at a ridiculous rate. You got another three at the weekend. Yeah. We get fans of Celtic and Rangers and others on here saying, wish we could sign him.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the goal scorers, as James has just said there, you know, they're few and far between, and it all depends, and again, on the type of strikers. We had this debate last week about players who do a lot of work in terms of the link-up play and the work ethic and running into channels and putting defenders. But Shanks is a penalty box player. He comes alive in and around the penalty box. And, you know, I think if any of the top clubs sign him, I think with the chances they create, he will definitely score goals. And I think he's matured. I think he's learned. And it
would you pay $2 million from Jim? James has just mentioned $2 million fee. Is that a ballpark figure?
I think that's fair enough. I think that you know, again, they might not have to pay as much as that. There might be add-ons if he plays so many games, if successful, etc. But certainly, if you look at, you know, what he's achieved over the last three seasons, his goal record is exceptional. But he's still to prove it at the top level, because they've been in the Division One. And then two seasons in the Championship. So he's still got to do it at the top level. So I think there might be, you know, let's just say £1 million guaranteed and the rest on add-ons. But to me, a big club, it's absolutely worth the risk. I think it's only minimal risk anyway, because I think he will score goals. But whether he's a regular player would obviously depend on how he could develop.
The thing would be, Mark Guidi, you would imagine, he's right under everyone's nose. Our big clubs have and will have watched him numerous times. So if they're not going to go for it, it will be for good reason. It won't be because they're not aware of, you know, the goal scoring. It's not like he's someone who's out of sight at the moment. Everyone knows exactly what he's doing.
I know for sure that last season Rangers had a wee think about him when he was at United, bearing in mind that they could have picked him up for nothing. So they had a wee thought. But you look at the progression. So he's at Ayr United, a great respect, good club. Does he have Ian McCall? He's then getting up with Dundee United. We're talking about, you know, Greg Docherty playing in front of 40,000 at Sun. So he's gone from playing in front of, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 at Ayr United to playing now in front of 10, 12, 14,000 at Tannadice, with the expectation level of scoring goals to get the team up. Now he's pretty much helped get the team up already, barring an almighty crash. Dundee United are up and back into flight. And I think pretty much all of us would regard Dundee United as a Premiership club anyway. So I think that if he's not signed now, because both Rangers and Celtic can afford him, the greatest respect, they can just go and get him now if they want. It means they don't think he's quite good enough for them. But for me, Lauren Shankland would be for either. And I'm not saying he's going to go and sign for Rangers or Celtic and score 25 goals in the top flight, but he's now a Scotland player. He's played for Scotland, he scored for Scotland, he's in and he's on form. You know, if you compare him to, if you'll say, bring him in as a backup striker, Well, for various reasons, he contributed more and done more in the past year than what Lee Griffiths has. It's because Lee Griffiths hasn't played. So when you look at things like that, people say, oh, Lauren Shankly's only championship. Oh, but he's got something to offer. I think he deserves a crack at the top flight. And if he's going to get there, it's only Celtic or Rangers that can afford to buy him from United.
James, hang on the line and we'll get your thoughts on this. Stranraer legend Frank McEwen says they need to believe they can get that result against Rangers on Friday. Part of the coaching staff now and believes Steven Gerrard's side are playing the best football in the country at the moment.
For me, Rangers are playing the best football in Scotland just now, and it's just going to be a huge task. It's going to be a huge task, and we'll do everything we can to stop them. Surprises happen. We always say that in these sort of rounds, there's one shock. Every cup round, there's one shock where people can't believe it. So what's the chances of us? Very, very slim, but that's what the cup's all about, isn't it? I think when we played Rangers the last day, you know, the famous result was the Boxing Day, one each result. I think Rangers had won something like 24 games in a row, and maybe just that day they took the foot off the gas and thought, you know, and you know, we kind of spoiled the party in the 94th minute or whatever it was. So they might have eyes elsewhere, but I'd very much doubt it. I think they're very professional what they do. They've been away at training camp, stuff like that. But for us, we'll prepare right. We have done, you know, for every other game this season. And we'll do the same on Friday night. We've got the second, third lowest budget in Scotland. You know, TV money, all that sort of stuff is massive. It'll keep this club going for 2 or 3 years solely on the one game. You know, so that's absolutely huge. It's absolutely huge. And, you know, we'll thank Rangers for having us on Friday night. And the money that we'll bring in is absolutely massive.
It feels like a long time, James, since we previewed a game involving a top flight side. But this is Wednesday. Rangers are back at Ibrox on Friday. I take it you're expecting a straightforward evening.
I think you're, even your man there is expecting a straightforward evening. Rangers have put out a full strength squad, trying to get back playing football. We've got another week until our next game. I think Steven Gerrard with the boys will be champing it a bit, take it out on Friday night. And I don't think Stranraer have really got much of a chance.
I mean, I don't think anyone would be offended at that assessment, Jim. You can clearly see why. Something about what James said about the strongest team. Is that the way you think Steven Gerrard will approach it? Well, you've had a couple of weeks, we've been in Dubai, and therefore everybody's ready to go. Or can you afford to use it and give one or two even longer, and yeah, introduce some guys we don't usually see?
Yeah, I mean, Rangers can afford to use their squad if Steven Gerrard so wishes. I mean, you know, I don't think there'd be any concern from Rangers. You know, if he decides to go along that way and give one or two a little bit more of a break. I mean, he's got to look at his squad and maybe see who he feels maybe just needs a little bit more of a breather. And if he does, then whatever squad or whatever players he plays, you know, will be very, very strong. And they will trying to show that they want to be part of this challenge for the title in the running in the second half of the season. I mean, Frank, I know Frank obviously very well, and the Stranraer guys, and, you know, the Stevie, the manager, Stevie Farrell. It's such a tough game. You know, I mean, what can you do when you're with Stranraer? He said, you know, you've got boys who are earning, you know, you couldn't even say a hundredth of what the Rangers team players are earning. It's the gulf is so astronomical in terms of resources and budgets. It's a monumental task.
And you don't even have that, you know, home advantage, get them to our place, difficult conditions.
A heavy
you've
pitch,
got the big
and all this
pitch
kind of stuff. Yeah, everything. I mean, as I said, Madden Bart team going up to Aberdeen as well. It's so difficult because you know you're going to be pretty much dominated, you know, by the game of the possession. What you don't want your players to do is freeze in the occasion. Mm. So, yeah, you will be saying to them, this is a chance, maybe the only chance you might get in your career to play at this venue with this amount of people there with the spotlight on you. Do yourself justice. That's all Stranraer can ask.
James in Paisley, thank you very much for the call. It's 0141 951 1025. We're going to get some travel with Stephen, and then stay right there because we're going to get the thoughts of Celtic's new signing, Patrick Klamala. He's coming up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Road Accident Solicitors. The compensation you deserve when you've been sidelined. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Jim Duffy's here, Mark Guidi is alongside him, and they're waiting for you to give us a call. 01419511025 on the phones, at Clyde SSB on Twitter. Let's see what you're making of the transfer window at the moment. A slow start, I think we would accept that. You sometimes get it in January, but we are closing in on the return of the top flight clubs. The Scottish Cup comes back on Friday night, spread across Saturday and Sunday as well. So some great fixture to look forward to. Let's hear from you on the phones or on Twitter at Clyde SSB. The one major signing for the top flight, and I use that word not because I am making assessments on the player. I'm talking about the fee and the clubs they arrive at. Last night when I said that, I said it was the first big signing of the window. And then tweets coming in, I can't believe Clyde Superscore trying to spin this has been a big... He's 3.5 million quid here for, that's all I mean.
It's big for Scottish football.
I'll leave the rest
is
up
that,
to
is
you.
Is that where we are now, is it? Is sort that of. The stage we're at?
But anyway, Patrick Klamala says he's ready to fight to be Celtic's top striker. If you missed it yesterday, it's a 4.5 year deal for the 21-year-old. He was speaking today, albeit through a translator. He told us he's slowly but surely getting to know his new teammates.
He's not expected to be in the first team after 3 days of being here. He would love to be in the first team. However, he's going to do his best to fight his place in the main team, in the first team. The only player he knew before he came to Celtic was Scott Brown. However, after the recent training, he said that the team that he's going to be playing with is really good, and the boys surrounding him are decent guys. He's ready. He's ready for a fight in the plays in the team. He came here obviously to get the first place in the team. However, he's ready to play alongside the other players. If end of the day is a coach decision who's playing. Celtic fans are going to see the player who's came here to score all of the goals. That's what he's planning to do, and he wants to bring a lot of happiness to the guys.
I don't know if you can read too much into it, Mark Guidi, in terms of the likelihood he features against Partick Thistle. I think the opening line there was not expecting to, because it's just a couple of days on, which is, I don't know if that goes down as a shame, because sometimes these Scottish Cup ties are an ideal time to bed in new players. It doesn't always work, but I remember this time last year, did Celtic play Airdrie on the Saturday night, similar kickoff time. I think we saw Oliver Burke and Timothy Weah, guys like that, guys who had come in, and it can be a good fixture to make your debut in.
I would, if he shows up, I mean, today's Wednesday, you get two more training sessions to go. If he looks there and he's, yeah, get him on the bench. Why not? A lot depends on Lee Griffiths. What light his fitness is. I mean, his fitness hasn't been anywhere near acceptable to play, you know, regular first team people, for obvious reasons. I'm not being critical of him for that, but I would be surprised, bearing in mind the little that we've seen of Lee Griffiths, I would be surprised if Klamala isn't in a better place fitness wise to go and be the second striker, to be the first backup to Odson Edward. And if that is the case, then I think Celtic, and for Lee Griffiths, they would need to think about being a partner of the ways during this window, because Lee Griffiths only want to be number three striker. He has to get out, you know, bear in mind he's got an international chance as well in the next 5 months. So I think he would have to go if Klamala is up to it. And like I say, bearing in mind the little I've seen of Lee Griffiths, then I would expect Klamala to be in a better place, ready to go and push Edward more than Lee Griffiths.
Yeah, I mean, it's always a difficult one when you bring in a new player. I mean, how quickly he settles, you know, he gets adapted to the style of football, you know, the intensity of the football, the expectations. But yeah, I mean, it's an ideal opportunity to get him involved as quickly as possible. I mean, the quicker you get him in the team and get him, you know, give him a taste of it, then the quicker he adapts. But you know, yeah, I mean, I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that be a big break. You know, the winter break could be big for Lee Griffiths, just in the sense of, you know, can he find that extra fitness? Can he get himself working and get himself up to speed to put down that challenge? So I think we'll see that, whether that's been the case or not, over the next week or 10 days. And if he hasn't done, then I'm sure there'll still be a number of clubs wanting to take him, because, you know, he is an exceptional goal scorer and a very good player. But sometimes your time just is up at a certain club, and we'll have to wait and see whether that's the case for him at Celtic.
That's the first time we've heard from Patrick Klamala. So what did you make of what he had to say, or what his translator had to say? Give us a call, 0141 951 1025. This is the perfect time to get your thoughts into us. We are on Twitter, at Clyde SSB. You two will be blissfully unaware of this, perhaps, because you don't do the whole social media scene. Mm-hmm. Both old school. At this time last night, Lee Griffiths put up a sort of picture of him with his fingers in his ears, as if to say, sort of blocking out the noise. Type thing. And then minutes later, the entire Twitter account was deleted. That's it.
His Twitter account deleted.
Okay. I don't know what you read into that, if anything. The only thing
I
was
what I read into it is, thank goodness I'm not on it. That's what I read into it. My decision has been totally justified.
This stuff's important in the Twitter world, let me assure you. On a more serious note, though, if there is availability there, clubs will have asked that question already, because again, sort of similar to what I said about Lawrence Shankland, he's right there, he's right under your nose. Every single club in Scotland's top flight knows exactly what he's capable of in that division. Surely the question's been asked already more than once.
Yeah, and they will also do their homework. And if you want to get league out, I mean, I don't know what he earns at Celtic, but let's say it's somewhere between 15 and 20,000 pounds a week. Now, there'll only be a handful of clubs that can afford to pay even a fraction of that. So let's say Celtic are willing to let him go for $3,000 a week, you know, towards his wages. That's fine. But clubs, regardless who you are, whether it's Aberdeen or Hibs or Sunderland or whoever it may be, they're only going to pay that if they think he's actually ready to come in. They're not going to bring him in just to have him training a few times a week. They're not going to pay that if they actually think, hey, are you ready? I want to sit down and look you in the eye, because he's not played any regular football for 14 or 15 months now. So yes, Lee Griffiths is a fantastic talent, but at the moment he's got to be considered a massive gamble.
I wonder, Jim, and you'll know more about this and that sort of managerial mindset, will there be managers out there though that say, well, there's a good chance that an 80% Lee Griffiths is better than what we've got?
Yeah, of course. I mean, his record speaks for itself. And as they say, they might say, well, look, if he can play 70 minutes for me and make such an impact in that 70 minutes, I'm not worried about if he's not fit enough to go and, you know, do all the other side of it, you know, maybe with the same intensity, maybe with the same responsibilities he would have at Celtic, then, yeah, of course.
Yeah, but that is my point, Gordon. That is the key question. Listen, if he's ready, then great, take him all day long. But is he ready?
Yeah.
There's no evidence in the past 14 months to suggest that he is ready. That's my question. Yeah. Now, he might have been trained superbly well in Dubai. I don't know. We'll get an update from Neil Lennon when he does his press, whether it's tomorrow or Friday. But at the moment, you're saying, and for me, it's a real shame, and we know the problems that he's had. But you want to see a proper Lee Griffiths being fit and available, whether it's to go and do it at Celtic again or go somewhere else, but also do it for his country.
Scott's a Celtic fan on the line. What about the current makeup of Celtic striking options, Scott? We just heard from Patrick Klamala for the very first time. How do you see that department at the moment at your club?
Lee Griffiths has been a great player since he signed, since Neil Lennon signed him for us. Especially the season where he was really extremely prolific under Ronnie Dyla, he scored 40 goals. I love Lee as a player, because he gives his heart and sleeve type thing, and every fan appreciates the guy, that sort of player. You're always probably prepared to forgive them a wee bit when you get that sort of effort out of them. My problem with Lee is now, that's now 14 months and he's contributed nothing to the team, absolutely nothing. When he came on, he's looked, I don't know if he's looked fit, he certainly doesn't look sharp, but he's come on, he's fit enough, but it's not as if he was out with like a cruciate ligament injury or a leg break or something like that. We're talking about a mental thing. I don't really know where you go with Lee. I think Lee needs games, but we can't just afford to throw him in just and let him get games, if you know what I mean. He needs to be coming in and scoring goals, and I don't know if he's sharp enough to do that just now.
Yeah, maybe that's where you do have to cut the player some slack, Jim. This is the same for any player as well. How can a player look at their maximum sharpness if they're not playing? But then you can say, well, they're not going to play unless they look, you know, it's that sort of.
Yeah, but no one knows the level of mental health issues that he may well have had.
And exactly.
And these things don't disappear within a week or two. Sometimes they're there forever. Just people have managed to cope with them better. You know, they don't just go away. So we don't know all this. So, I mean, a time scale, I think, is unfair to say, oh, well, he's had a year or he's had 18 months, whatever it happened to be. If you've got issues, those issues might always be there. As I said, it's just how you manage them and how you cope with them. But take all that aside, you know, as a footballer, and Neil Lennon's then got to pick someone being fit and ready, whether that's mentally, physically, or a combination, and for whatever combinations, that's not been the case for Lee Griffiths. And obviously with the new signing, and also the fact that they were desperate to get someone in, and that was their key, that was their number one priority, I think that tells you that he's not ready to play. So for me, I think he has to go on loan. And I think even, you know, as we discussed with Matt there, yeah, of course there are doubts, but I still think people will want Lee Griffiths, and I think they'll be prepared to pay a decent amount of money to take that risk, because if it pays off, then whatever club he goes to is pretty much guaranteed goals. Yeah, of course there's a risk, but listen, there's a risk in everything in football. You can get a guy who's, you know, 100% in every capacity, it just doesn't click. But I think whoever takes Lee Griffiths, and I think there will be a number of clubs wanting him, I think we'll be prepared to take that risk.
Scott, we go through the same scenario every transfer window. We keep hearing that players need time to settle in. We then hear straight away that you don't get time in Glasgow, especially at Celtic and Rangers. So does this seem like an ideal chance to put Patrick Klamala straight in and try and get him up to speed, or are you happy to see him in the future weeks?
Firstly, Jim, I wasn't advocating that enough's enough. We get if that's not what I was meaning, mate. I was just meaning we're in the middle of a title race just now, mm-hmm. and we really can't afford to have passengers. If Lee's not up to it, mm-hmm. then he needs to go away somewhere and find maybe a Hibs, as you say, somewhere where he knows he's going to be liked, he's going to have the fans behind him, and he's not going to have the same sort of pressure and pushing for like obviously Europa League, the Scottish Cup and the league. Mm-hmm. So I in no way was I trying to say, oh, I'm fed up with it. I'm just saying that 14 months is a long time mm-hmm. not to have played a full competitive 90 minutes and then expect them to get back into it. So that was my...
I didn't think for 1 minute you were suggesting that, you know, anything to do with it. I'm just saying to you that I was only making the point that sometimes there's no time scale. That's the point I was trying to make. There isn't a time scale. You can't just say, not you personally, just generally. Mm. We can't just give a time scale for certain situations. But, you know, again, whether Hibs could afford the percentage of transfer fee, Marks, you could be 3,000, 5,000, who knows. But I still think there will be clubs prepared to take the risk. But I agree with you in one aspect that maybe the time is come for Celtic to try and look at alternatives, and I think they have done that with the signing of Klamala.
You want to come back in, Scott?
Yeah, I originally phoned up, it wasn't really about Lee Griffiths, it was actually about the number of games that have been fitted into the next 2-3 weeks and the number of games it was fitted in Christmas. I think Rangers played 7 games on the lead up to the 29th, and I think we're going to play the exact same amount on the lead from, obviously, when we come back after the break. My issue with it is why do they need to play 7 away games out of 9? Why can they fix your calendars not have maybe 2 games away from home, then you've got a home game, maybe 1 game, 2 games at home, then an away game? There seems to be this, we've got to have 4 out of the next 5 games away from home. I mean, there's only 2 clubs in Glasgow. I'm talking about the Glasgow clubs, obviously, extensively. There's only 2 big clubs in Glasgow that's going to have games every other week. Surely they can do it better, because all they're doing is, I've spent over £200 in the last 10 days for tickets for games that are within the next 2 weeks or so. It's killing people going to the games. I don't think that they look at this and think, I mean, the run up to Christmas was bad enough.
Is one of Celtic's away games not a rearranged game, though, Scott, yeah, for example? You know,
I was going to say, when you get a run like that, if you talk about 7 out of 9 or 5 out of 7, that is a lot. Scott's absolutely right, and it sounds like a lot, but the problem is it only takes a fixture at a key time within that to be swapped or to be rearranged, and that's when you then get a run which you wouldn't blink an eye at, turning into something that you think, well, that's quite the run, and that's all it takes, because Celtic and Rangers get to semi-finals of the League Cup, so that's a game that needs rearranged. They then get to the final, that's another game that needs rearranged. Yeah. You stick them in at a certain point, and all of a sudden it really skews the run of either home or away fixtures.
So your point, Scott, you're making, and I agree with you, it's hard in the pocket. Is that your main point in terms of that, supporting your club? It's hard in the pocket. Is that your main point?
See nowadays, Mark, and obviously these guys maybe are more prevalent than us, but at Celtic and Rangers, basically, if you're lucky enough to be able to get to the games and you've been a long-standing Celtic fan or Rangers fan, and you get yourself, basically, you get to a level where you're going to get an offer. If you only get 2,000 tickets, you're going to be one of the ones that's got an offer. Uh-huh. If you miss out on that offer, if I decided that I can't afford to go to Hamilton this week,
you're down to the bottom of the queue.
Basically, that's it. Yeah. So you don't have any choice. I mean, I've been following Celtic for a long time, and I'd hate to miss out and go into a game for the sake of 25 quid. But I'm maybe in the lucky side. I don't have a lot of expenses out the way as other people do have.
Yeah.
But I just think it's at this time of the year after Christmas, we're asking guys to, they asked us to go to 9 games in December, and now it's 7 games within 3 weeks or so, something. Just think it's getting to the stages now. Surely there's a better way of doing it instead of having 5 away games out of 7.
It is a lot, Scott. I would never argue that. It really is a lot, and sympathise, because following your team costs an unbelievable amount of money, so we are fully behind you on that. But just to try and, if you look at Celtic's fixtures, for instance, so Partick is away because that was the draw of the cup. If you were to take that out, it should have been away to Kilmarnock, home to Ross County, away to Hamilton. But unfortunately, there's a rearranged St Johnstone game gets stuck in before that, and that's when it then skews everything. But like I say, Scott, you definitely have my sympathy. It is not cheap at all. 01419511025. This is the ideal time to get your call in, because we're going to get some travel with Stephen, and we could be speaking to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the league leader for compensation. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It's not only on the phones, you can get in touch, you can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB. John Streletsky's on, he says, I look like we Rangers are trimming the wage bill. I feel we need one or two players who can genuinely push for a start. They must value the club, must be value to the club, sorry. However, I have complete trust in Stevie G and the coaching team and our board to be ready in the second half of the season. Is that the challenge for Rangers this season and Celtic to an extent, Jim, and Celtic have been here in the past? It's not always easy to sign someone who automatically goes into that starting 11 and makes you better. That's just really difficult to come by.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to just look, if you take Rangers for instance, then you look through each individual player of your strongest starting 11, right? And then you've got to say, right, is there somebody better, you know, is there somebody better that we can afford that's available? All these things, and it's unlikely that that'll be the case. But what you can sometimes find is someone who can give you something a little bit different. So for instance, Rangers might think, we don't have a tall striker, you know, like a target man striker, 6'2", 6'4". So is that something that Steven Gerrard would look at? I mean, that's the type of thing you might look at. It might not be as good as Defoe or as good as Morelos, but it gives you something different. If a team's sitting back, you can't break them down. Can we get it wide? Can we get it in the box? Can we play it? You know, so there may be something like that you look at, rather than just another option for midfield or another option at centre back, for instance. It's maybe a different type. And I'm not saying Rangers need that or would want that. I'm just giving an example of the type of things they might look at. Or, and similar to all the various clubs, you know, Celtic have went down a route of getting a young player in. Is it 21? Kamala. Yeah, you know, and again, that's something they've done in the past where they've looked at, obviously, Dembele, Edward, Kamala now. Obviously, Bayo was one that's not quite clicked. But that's the kind of the route they've went down, is maybe looking at potential and development. And again, that might be something Rangers might look at as well. Might look at trying, can we get a young player in, bed them into the way of thinking for the next two or three seasons? And there's another option they might get down.
I'm not saying it has happened, Mark, because I don't know. I'm not qualified to make that assessment. But it's worth bearing in mind that our clubs, all clubs, but particularly our big two, because of the unique setup of our league with the two clubs, you know, far bigger resources, there's a ceiling to an extent. Maybe that's the wrong word, that sounds very negative, but there does become a point where you can't just keep signing players that are definitely better than the ones you've got, because the money and then the wages that comes with that, it becomes difficult, actually, the more successful you are.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, for example, if Rangers sell Morelos in the summer, you know, and let's say they get, for talking sake, they get 20 million quid, are they going to go and bring in another £20 million striker? No, because that's not the business model. They've bought him for one, they've sold for 20. So they might go and spend 5 or 6.
And you could easily spend 6 million on a guy that doesn't score as many as the £1 million
exactly.
Pound man.
So it's like, you know, Kieran Tierney at Celtic, sold him for 25. Are you going to replace light with light? No, you're not. You're going to get somebody inferior, but they hope that somebody's still very able. So you go and do that. So yeah, that's the way it is. It's not like, you know, Celtic will sell Edward in the summer for 20 million. They'll go and buy somebody at 25. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, but they've also got to look at you mentioned there the players, but it's also beneath the first team. You know, the clubs have got to look and see the potential of their young players, the reserves, if you want to call it that. It used to be the old word, but the development squad, all these kind of young players as well. You know, when you're looking to bring in a player, so for instance, Kamala, Celtic's got to look and say, right, what do we have beneath the first team? And if they don't think someone's quite ready in that position to come in, then you're getting by. But there's that aspect to look at as well. It's the overall picture you've got to look at.
Let's speak to Jamie in Kilbarkin. What's on your mind tonight, Jamie?
Hi, good evening, panel. How are you doing?
Hi, Jamie.
I tell you what it is. I'll start off by saying I'm a Lee Griffiths fan. But what it is the average player in the EPL, and I presume it was very similar to the SPL or the ESPL, is they cover a kind of distance of average of 10.5 clicks or kilometres per game. And I would imagine the average man can do 10 kilometres on a treadmill or out in the street a day and recover well and probably do the same again tomorrow. So why is it taking 14 months or whatever to say that I know there's definitely other variables involved, but where is this fitness? When's it going to kick in? Because I would like to see him get a chance to come back to back to where he was, because I believe he's probably the best goal scorer in Scotland, to be honest with you, if he was on his game. But how long does it really take to get matched fit? It's maybe a question then, just with a few facts thrown in.
Well, that's just too simple, Jim, isn't it? Because there is no time frame. If Lee Griffiths was out with a purely physical issue, then you would be able to maybe move towards that assessment, even though everyone's different. But he's been struggling with something that you can't put a time frame on, and you shouldn't try. There shouldn't be any pressure there. Of course we understand, because football fans, you're then just quite simply looking at when is this player available. But it's not that Lee Griffiths can't go out and run 10 kilometres.
Well, if Jamie's going purely physical, you get that. You know, they've got sports scientists, they've got physios, they've got the rehab, they've got all the things you say, they've got GPS system, they know exactly how much work they do, everything's tracked, they've got all the data on how fit he should be and where he should be and how long it should take him to get there. But as I say, there's a number of factors. One could be a physical injury, and he has had a few muscle injuries,
calf,
calf. which can set you back. And again, not 100% sure of exactly how injured he was in terms of time scale, but that can set you back. And as I said before, there's a lot of other aspects of the demands. But I don't think it's just general fitness, Jamie. I think general fitness, he's probably fine, as you say. He could probably go out there and run that pretty comfortably, you know. But it's the intensity, the demands, and also, as I said, to being mentally ready to go and play for Celtic. And these are all aspects only Celtic can answer, really.
Yeah, and it's not something that us or anyone really should speculate about either. Yeah. It's one that I'm not really comfortable with doing, I must say. And speaking of the average man, or whatever phrase Jamie used, I was in the treadmill. It was not pretty. I was in the treadmill this morning, so I
10K.
I'd be struggling at that point. Jamie, how many more does Celtic need, or how many more will they get? We've heard from Patrick Klamala tonight. Is that the first of a few, as far as you're concerned?
Yeah, I definitely need another midfielder. A boss in the midfield, because everybody can't be there forever. And just say he needs replaced at the end of the season. He wants somebody in place who's maybe has already been there for the 6 months or whatever. And that's just speculation. But also, I would say in the wing areas, need an extra bit of cover. I know we're overloaded with midfield and players now, but we need to ship out a few as well.
Yeah, well, that's been happening, hasn't it? If you look at Lewis Morgan still hanging in the balance, Scott Sinclair, obviously. There have been a couple already. Thanks to Jamie and Kilbarkin. In fact, Ismaila Sorrow, that's one to keep an eye on. Jamie wants to see a midfielder. Perhaps Celtic are closing in on that one, Ismaila Sorrow. So we'll watch that with interest as the week progresses. I think it's time for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. It's your chance to win a signed ball, but only if you can get more questions right than Jim Duffy or Mark Guidi. If you fancy it tonight, 0141 951 1025. You need to be quick, because the lines close at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. The form team for compensation for more than 40 years. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Mark Guidi and Jim Duffy here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We kicked off tonight's show looking at Rangers' potential loan moves out the way for Greg Docherty and Jamie Murphy. We heard from Patrick Klamala for the first time since he became a Celtic striker. So if you've got any thoughts on those, you can keep them coming in on the usual number or on Twitter at Clyde SSB. And in the second hour, we're going to take a closer look at one of the ties of the round in the Scottish Cup this weekend. East Kilbride against BSC Glasgow, both Lowland League sides, and one of them is going to be going through to the fifth round and a potential meeting with one of the big boys. I'm pleased to say we've got both managers in the studio. So if you're a fan of the Lowland League, a fan of the clubs involved, or just a general fan of cup upsets and all the rest of it, do get in touch. We'll get to them after we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It's Beat the Pundit time. Mark Guidi and Jim Duffy both ready. One of them will be taking on Scott, who's from East Kilbride. How are you tonight, Scott?
Hi, good, mate. How are you?
Not too bad at all. Are you going to go for your local team on Saturday? You got a wee soft spot for East Kilbride? I won't tell Stephen.
Aye, better. Next, after Rangers, it's him.
So East Kilbride against Rangers in the next round. You've already got it drawn up. We'll see what Stephen has to say about that in a few moments' time. But let's toss the coin. Heads, it will be Mark. You've both moved. You've confused me now. Mark's and Jim are over the other side of the studio. Heads, it's Mark. Tails, it's Jim. and it's tails. Jim Duffy against Stephen from East Kilbride. So I'm going to give Jim something else to listen to. I'll set him up with some Clyde 2 so that he can't hear your answers. Scott, you have 30 seconds head to head. You can pass. Here is your chance to beat the pundit. You ready? You ready, Scott?
Yep, aye. On
good
you
man.
Go.
Let's do it. Which Rangers player has left for Partick Thistle today?
Zach Gordon.
Who are the current holders of the Scottish Challenge Cup?
Pierre Heed.
What was the score when Clyde beat Celtic in the Scottish Cup in 2006?
2-1.
Who was the last Scottish manager of Man United?
Alex Ferguson.
Alan Lithgow captains which Scottish side?
Pass.
When did Motherwell last win the Scottish Cup?
2001.
Which League 2 side are nicknamed the Toonsers?
Pass.
Okay, let's see if we can bring Jim Duffy back. Jim, can you hear us?
Yes.
You can, same set of questions to you. You ready?
On you go.
Which Rangers player has today left the club for Partick Thistle?
Zach Rudden.
Who are the current holders of the Scottish Challenge Cup?
Oh, Alloa.
What was the score when Clyde beat Celtic in the Scottish Cup in 2006?
2-1 Clyde.
Who was the last Scottish manager of Man United?
Sir Alex Ferguson. Oh no.
Alan Lithgow okay, captains which Scottish side?
Alan Lithgow is Livingston.
When did Motherwell last win the Scottish Cup?
94.
Which Scottish League 2 side are nicknamed the Toonsers?
The Toonsers?
Mm-hmm.
Peterhead, but they're not in League 2. That's Blue Toon, isn't it?
It's definitely not them then.
No.
Scott, you let out a sort of groan,
noise, wasn't it?
A groan at the end,
the
Scott.
Same, the same one is. Jim got wrong. David Moyes.
David Moyes, yeah.
See, it's all it's easy.
Jumped in.
It's easy when the pressure's not on. Which Rangers players today left the club for Partick Thistle? It's Zach Rudden. So you both got off to a good start. The current holders of the Challenge Cup are Ross County.
Right.
The score when Clyde beat Celtic in 2006 was 2-1. So it's decent tie so far, 2-2. The last Scottish manager of Man United, and you both got it wrong. You dived in. Yellow cards all round for diving in. You went for Sir Alex. It was Davy Moyes. Alan Lithgow captains Livingston. So Jim Duffy goes in front. When did Motherwell last win the Scottish Cup? Unfortunately, neither of you went back far enough, Mark Guidi.
91.
Going way back. And which Scottish League 2 side are nicknamed the Toonsers? Now that is a difficult question. But if you maybe think, why do I not know this one?
Because it's somebody that's just come into the league. Cove Rangers.
Cove Rangers.
Oh, never gone.
Nah, there we go. So Scott, it wasn't bad at all. It was a close one, but it was 3-2 to Jim Duffy. Hardlines.
Where does the Toonsers come from when it's Cove Rangers? What's that?
I don't shoot the messenger,
did,
as
you,
they say.
Did you just do that? Seriously, I'll let you say
aye. Elimination, because we didn't know any other ones.
There we go. Scott, not too bad at all. Right, a 3-2 defeat. Hardlines. That was Scott. And East Kilbride. Well, you won't forget it now, will you? The Toonsers.
Yeah, I'll be seeing the Paul Hartley. Do you know your nickname?
There we go. Well, you said Peterhead, and they've taken Rory McAllister.
Yeah, the blue
Peterhead, haven't they? Of,
yeah, and I thought maybe they've just embellished it a little bit. But then I thought they're in the same league as us. They're in Division 2. So all wrong.
There we go. Well, you won in the end. The sign ball stays where it is. The Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard budget remains intact for now. Right, I am pleased to say Jim Patterson, boss of East Kilbride, and Stephen Swift, boss of BSC Glasgow, join us in the studio. That's because those two meet the two Lowland League sides head to head in the fourth round of the Scottish Cup this Saturday, obviously with a place in the fifth round at stake, which for a Lowland League side would be incredible. To both of you, first of all, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
Great.
Take us back through the last couple of months then, because when the draw is made, is it kind of bittersweet? Because on paper you've got a better chance of progression, but ultimately you do miss out on one of the big boys that you could have got in this round.
I think we didn't want anything in between. I think that's the big thing. You either want the glamour tie, Celtic or Rangers maybe. Obviously the club, I knew they wanted that anyway. But when we got East Kilbride, I think both clubs will feel that they've got a chance of progressing.
Jim, it's a real fascinating tie because of that, and for us as well, both local clubs to us, it's an absolute cracker. You can make a case for it being one of the ties around. How much is everyone looking forward to it?
No, well, everybody's looking forward to it because the carrot is there. You get somebody in your own division, and like Swifty says there, we both fancy our chances. You know a lot of teams will go, so it gives you an even better chance next round of getting a massive tie.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you football managers, and there's three of you in the studio, so you'll be all throwing it back at me about taking one game at a time. I hear it a lot, but how do you do that when the incentive is there? You know what lies ahead. Even the other so-called smaller teams that are left, there's a good chance a lot of them will go out, and if you can make it through, you're going to be in there with, you know, the country's biggest sides. How How, where's the balance between using it as an incentive but not looking too far ahead?
I think what we tried to do as soon as the draw get made, it's very difficult to concentrate in your league competition, but it's a game this big is always in the forefront of your mind, and it's just one everybody in the club's looking forward to.
Is that the same for you, Jim? Have you found that the league form is or maybe not quite the priority that it sometimes is?
No, well, to be fair, our league form had to get better but I have improved in that. But I think when you look at it, it's such a big opportunity, then it won't be a case on Saturday that you don't want to sort of get too carried away, as in focusing on the next. There's a game to be played. The two teams were very close in the first game, one each, and it's about keeping the players, I suppose, calm and not getting too carried away, because if you start getting carried away in the next, then that's when you become unstuck.
Does it bring its own pressures then, playing a team that's so close to you? I mean, you're separated by a couple of places in the league. Does that bring its own type of pressure?
Well, I think it's got its pros and cons. It's a team that we're familiar with, so we know their strengths, we know their weaknesses, and we'll try and exploit that. But obviously, as you say, there might be added pressure on that as well, so we've got to deal with everything.
Yeah, I mean, the sides have met earlier this season. Jim, you weren't yet in charge of East Kilbride at that point, which was a great relief to me, because I was worried that you two were great rivals and had fallen out, and then I had stuck you in a radio studio together, which might have been quite funny, but you know, you weren't in charge at that time. What is it like then? Is it, we talk about bringing a unique pressure, but ultimately you know a lot about each other.
No, as like you said, the first game was really tight. I think we scored, and then what was it, a couple of minutes, then it was one each, and then it went end to end. So it'll be, I can see it being tight and nervy, just for the simple fact of what waits at the other side. But again, it's who deals with the pressure on the day, and sometimes you need a bit of luck.
Yeah, so both guys are here. That's Stephen and Jim, looking ahead to that All Lowland League clash on Saturday with a place in the fifth round. But all your calls, still get them in on that or anything else that's on your mind tonight. Do share it with us, 0141 951 1025. Jim, you can make a serious case for this being tie of the round, because it's got its own intrigue. A lot of the other fixtures, of course, we always look to see, is there a banana skin there? Is there going to be a cup shock? But for a guarantee, there's a guarantee there that a Lowland League team makes it into the fifth round. That's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, again, the responsibility on the managers and the players, and obviously they'll feel that, and they understand what's at stake. And a lot of the ties, you would think there's a strong favourite, and this one here is completely 50-50. And I think both of them would agree to that. There's not a favourite. It's not one is running away miles ahead of the other one. Played one game already this season, they said, you know, it was 1-1, both sides very evenly matched. And as I said, I think it is you know, who copes with it. And also discipline, I think, is going to be important, that they don't get caught up in that fervour and, you know, the kind of spotlight, because there is a bit of spotlight on them. And sometimes players just get caught up in that a little bit too much, and they let emotions run away with it. So I think keeping their emotions intact will be very, very important. But still, you know, realising you've got to give everything, because this is an opportunity. It might never come around again to get to this stage of the cup for BSC or for East Kilbride. It's you know, it'd be a fantastic achievement for whichever club is successful.
I mean, Mark Guidi, you're from East Kilbride, so you don't have to be too apologetic to Stephen. I think you've got a wee soft spot for East Kilbride. And but on a more serious note, there's a, what an incentive it is.
Aye, it'd be great. Ty and yeah, living in East Kilbride, so yeah, a soft spot for them. My daughter plays for East Kilbride as well, so there's that. So yeah, probably rooting for Jim and the guys. I was up at East Kilbride game against St Mirren in the Betfred Cup earlier in the season, watched that on the Saturday afternoon. They got a good result, actually beat St Mirren in penalties, is that right? So it was good. But then Stephen, BSC, obviously Kenny Moyes heavily involved, and Kenny's somebody I've known for 30 years, so a lot of time for Kenny.
What loyalties, but in the Greedy house then?
No, it's East Kilbride.
I was trying to let you wriggle out of it.
But if BSC win, then great. I just hope, whoever the winner is, I hope they get a big tie the next round. The draw's made on Sunday night after the Dundee United Hibs game, so whoever wins the game, I hope they get a massive tie, because that'd be great.
I mean, Jim, the memory of East Kilbride facing Celtic will still be there for many people at the club. What does that do? Does that really remind the people who are still there of what can be done? I'm sure it was an incredible day for the club, and the difference it would have made financially and all the rest of it.
No, that was a massive day. Like you said, financially for the club, getting a tile at Celtic. Personally, I was annoyed because I played for Stenhouse Muir that cup run when Manisco Buried put us out. So, but we know what it means to the club because we got to test it before. And I suppose when you look at it, for me, it would be great to take, if you got a glamour tie, if you got Rangers or Celtic the next round, go to take them to Ibrox or Parkhead, just for the boys to experience that as well, just in their career, to go up against the two of them are the best two teams. You look at how they're playing in Europe, do you know what I mean? The chance to put themselves up against that.
Yeah, and I mean, Stephen, for BSE, not quite the same example to look back on, but a club that's sort of been progressively better and better every season and building and then culminating with an absolute thriller to knock out East Fife in the last round. Just how incredible was that for you and the players involved?
It was unbelievable. I actually think my son comes over and watches. We usually, like, before anything, we'll watch Lee Griffiths, two goals. He's like, I've now got to put the East Fife game on. So it kind of shows you how euphoric it was for everybody involved. But it's great. Obviously, we're on a different end of the scale. East Kilbride have been there against Celtic. We're a new club. We've tried to get better and better every year. And I think we've done that. Since we've come in, we've got to the second round, third round last year against Forfar, and obviously fourth round this year. But to get to the last 16 would just be fairy tale stuff for this club.
Incredible. That's Stephen and Jim. They're going to stay with us until the show ends just before 8 o'clock. So we will have plenty more at looking ahead to that game. But Alec is a Motherwell fan on the line. Have you got Scottish Cup on your mind already, Alec?
Well, a Saturday night, Gordon. 7:20 on a Saturday night. I mean, I'd just like to ask what Mark and Jim think about these crazy times now that they've... I know it's to do with... excuse me. I know it's to do with money, but 7:20 on a Saturday night? I mean, it's a bit extremes, is it, no?
I must admit, it's certainly a new one at the moment. We can't really do much about it. TV companies pump money in and we need that money, so you kind of have to go for it, Jim, but... It's a bit of a strange one. I think we can admit that.
Yeah, there's a few strange kickoff times, I think, you know, over the weekend. And again, you take the money, then I'm afraid you have to accept that these are, you know, what the TV companies want. I can't quite work out why maybe one game finishes and they've got so much time to go before the next game. But 7:20, it is strange, but I don't really think it's a big deal. You know, I mean, it's not something to get overly annoyed about. It's like, you know, if they kicked off at 7:30, it's a 10 minutes different. Would anybody really bat an eyelid? No, they wouldn't. So yeah, it's
well, Saturday night though, we don't usually get evening kickoffs on a Saturday. We're used to them midweek.
Yeah, no, I understand that. But as I said before, again, it gives Motherwell an opportunity to be on TV to maybe enhance their reputation as a team, and obviously Stephen Robinson's reputation has been enhanced significantly over the last couple of years of what he's done. So I don't think the players will be too bothered, but yeah, it is a wee bit annoying for fans. I do get that on a Saturday night, but unfortunately, when sponsors come in, when TVs come in, the TV companies come in, if you accept what they bring in, you know, in terms of finance, then you're going to have to accept that games are moved around accordingly, and not always to the benefit of supporters.
See, Alec, I think we find out a bit about people's general Saturday night routines here, because some people are worried that it will be late home to their bed. A couple of the dafties that I know from Motherwell are delighted because it means they can go to the pub at goodness knows what time during the day, and they've got even longer to build up, and it becomes the big away day and all the rest of it. So I know that's not everyone's priority though, Alec.
Well, Gordon, I'm a taxi driver. You know what I mean? A Saturday night's that's your time for making money. You know what I mean? It's like Santa Claus to it on Christmas Eve.
It's a heck of a fair to Dundee, though, is it not?
Eh?
It's a heck of a fair to Dundee.
I'll maybe watch out for Dazzler, see if I can see him starting about and pick him up. You know what I mean?
Well, in fact, there's every chance on a Saturday evening. But if you can, Alex maybe spotted a business opportunity here. Somebody misses the supporters' bus back at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock from Dundee. We'll give them. We'll pass on your number, Alec.
There's been once or twice that players have been left behind as well, so maybe we better get their numbers. They're the ones, depending on how well they do. If they don't do as well as they would expect to do, maybe Stephen Robinson might just leave one or two behind.
Jim Patterson, in your playing career, I'm sure you saw many of these bizarre kickoff times. I hate saying this as if, you know, fans are an afterthought, because that should never be the way it is, but there's not a great deal we can do about it. Clubs sort of sign up to it, and that's the money. Did you have a few strange ones in your time?
Wasn't they strange ones? It was just when they changed it to start with, when Sky came in, and then we became the Sunday game. Like I was saying to Jim earlier on, when it was a Dundee derby, 4 o'clock on a Sunday. You used to play, and that was back then. It was just 3 o'clock every Saturday, 3 o'clock every Saturday, and then it was 4 o'clock on a Sunday. And then they brought in other kickoff times. Then you had the 12:30 Saturday, 12:30 Sunday, and you adapt to it. But what can you do?
Yeah, before long you just get used to it, don't you, Alec? Does that one go down as a potential banana skin at all? I know Dundee haven't been in great form recently, but I just wonder, away from home, how confident should Motherwell be?
Oh, well, I think if you're playing any team for the Premiership, for the first, any team's a potential banana skin. You know what I mean? Because it is the Scottish Cup, and if you look back through the history, there has been big teams have slipped up. So it's I would say I'm quite confident that we should beat them there.
Yeah, I mean, Mark, you start looking through the fixture card, and because you're so, you're almost tuned in to look for cup shocks, so you end up looking at the most, like, you look through the rest and you go, well, can't see one there, can't see one there, and you start trying to build a case for the rest. Maybe that's where Dundee and Motherwell does come into it. There's not a million miles between the sides, no. Although Motherwell are at the top end of one division, Dundee in a similar position in the division below.
I do fancy Motherwell. You know, I think Motherwell will come back, and you know, I think the team's struggling a wee bit at home now, and again they're lacking a wee bit of consistency at then, so I would go for Motherwell to win that game. The one I kind of fancy, I don't know if it would be regarded as a shock, but I think one of our teams not in the top four divisions, I fancy Bonnyrigg heavily at home to Clyde. I think that's my banker for the day. I'm going to go for that. Your likes of Kilmarnock, Queen's Park, St Mirren, Broxburn, Hamilton Accie, I think they'd all be fine. Ayr United at home to Ross County, we never know, that could be one as well. Partick Thistle v Celtic should win comfortably. Rangers will win comfortably. So I think most of the Premiership teams have got decent ties, so I'd imagine most of them. And I actually fancy Dundee United to beat Hibs on Sunday in the cup as well.
Thanks to Alec and Motherwell. It's 0141 951 1025. We are joined by Stephen Swift and Jim Patterson, the managers of BSC and East Kilbride, because those Lowland League sides go head to head, one of them guaranteed to be in the draw for the fifth round. So plenty more chat to come from those guys, plenty more time for you to get your calls in about any of tonight's footballing topics, and we'll get a full time teaser up and running next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Getting you full compensation is their goal. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Busy studio tonight. Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi are here as always. Jim Patterson and Stephen Swift, managers of East Kilbride and BSC, join us looking ahead to that massive Scottish Cup game on Saturday between the sides. The guys would be mistaken if they think this means they're let off with the teaser tonight. We do still have one. Quite straightforward though, I think you're going to smash this one in record time. Tony Higgins sent it in, so thanks to Tony. And just a reminder for anyone who wants to contribute a full-time teaser, if you want to hear your question on the show, the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. Can you name the 10 managers with the most English Premier League games managed of all time? Straightforward. I shouldn't even need to repeat that. Last night's question, Gordon DL needed it repeated, I think, about 9 times. It was so complex. Tonight is straightforward. 10 managers with the most English Premier League games of all time.
Well, the obvious two is Alex Ferguson and Arsene Wenger.
Just out of curiosity, can you remember which order they're in?
I would guess Sir Alex Ferguson would top.
He's not, actually. No, he's tucked in just behind Arsene Wenger. There we go. Arsene Wenger and Sir Alex Ferguson.
Sam Allardyce, Davy Moyes.
Yep. That's nearly halfway there. Jim and Stephen, can you throw anything in? Help the guys.
No pressure.
Steve Bruce.
Okay, we'll leave it there because you're already halfway through and we've still got about half an hour of. Let's at least pretend we're going to build up some suspense between now and the end of the show. Steve Bruce, Sam Allardyce, Davy Moyes, Sir Alex Ferguson, Arsene Wenger. 5 down, 5 to go. We're looking for 10 managers with the most English Premier League games managed of all time. There we go. You can speak to the guys, Stephen and Jim, or put another point to Jim and Mark. We're on the phones as normal, 01419511025, and on Twitter at Clyde SSB. We are getting questions in on Twitter, and Jim McLaughlin says, possibly a difficult question for Jim, but what are EK's plans? Always based around getting out of that league as soon as possible. That's obviously proving difficult. Is that still the ultimate aim?
Yep, that is
pretty much.
Pretty much. This season's been difficult. Like I said, we started the season, done really well in the League Cup, but didn't take that form into the league. And we had a bit of a hangover for the sort of beating me to Cove coming so close last season. So it is again, but like I said, the standard of the league's improved, and we found ourselves a bit short. So it's a case of, this is obviously massive this weekend for us, and then we're looking towards rebuilding towards next season, and then having another shot at it.
What's the structure like to be a part of? Because that playoff, that pyramid is there. It gives you the incentive. It's the ultimate incentive now. But as you say, it can be really hard then. If you miss out, you have lost already in the SPFL playoffs. Is it tough to recover from?
Well, it is tough to recover from, because last year in the league, I'm sure Swifty will say that they sort of set the benchmark, and then get into it. But like I said, Cove were doing the exact same in the Highland League, so it was two good teams going up against each other. And no disrespect to Berwick, I think whoever came out the semi-final was always got to win the final, but unfortunately for us, it was Cove. But it was difficult to recover, because, well, no difficult to recover, it just felt, we started the season really well in the League Cup, get some good results, but then getting into the league, we were slow at the blocks, and there was teams coming, obviously we were the scalp.
Yeah.
And we didn't react to
that. I mean, Stephen, for BSC then, is the ambition, I'm assuming, is the same for everyone in that league. That pyramid is now there. Scottish football went under a pretty radical restructure when you think about it. I know it doesn't get the attention because it's not the same club sizes at the top flight, but that pyramid, that path now to go from the Lowland League or the Highland League into the SPFL, that was a significant shift. I think it's only Edinburgh City that have made it from the Lowland League so far. What's the appetite like? What's the ambition like at BSC to do it?
Well, I think Jim says it's so difficult, and you've got to feel for East Kilbride, the fact that a couple of times they've been close. Obviously, Cove last year, and the beaten penalties with Cowdenbeath a couple of years ago as well. So, real difficult league to get out of. And he mentioned the league getting stronger and stronger, but we feel that we're up there. We've had a good season so far, so we'll just continue to do it with working hard, and I'm pretty sure that we'll be there by the end.
I think, Gordon, you look, I mean, there's teams like East Stirlingshire who were part of the fabric of Scottish football for a long time. Berwick, as you mentioned, no longer in the leagues. Cove Rangers, I think, just shows you how well they've done, how difficult a tie, sitting top the second division just now, just signed Rory McAllister, and I think it's a 3-year deal, and paid money for him, even if it's only football terms, a small sum. It's still, you know, that just shows you
well,
how,
for our League 2 sides to be paying any transfer fees.
A fee. And obviously they've got a prolific goal scorer, but they've given him a 3-year contract, I think, at 32 years of age. So again, their ambition is to go way beyond just there. Paul Hartley's a manager, and the staff that they've got there. So it's very, very difficult for the lower league clubs to get, you know, to get the pass at next stage. Winning the league is tough enough, but then the playoffs come in. And for years, people thought Spartans would be the automatic one, and then it became maybe East Kilbride. Now it's Kelty, except so it's so difficult. And then take the other teams into consideration. Mm. Even if you win the league, the playoffs. So it's a very, very difficult challenge for these teams. But I mean, obviously, I know, Stephen, they train in the same area as us, and the intensity and the demands that they put on the players, and what the lower league clubs are now doing is they're attracting good players. But that's because the professionalism has risen significantly over the last 3-4 years. They're good clubs to go for. They're not really any difference between what BSC, East Kilbride, and Dumbarton, for instance, minimal if any. So it's evening itself out now, and it's become such a competitive league that players are wanting to go and play there now because they know that the standard is getting higher and higher every year.
Keep your calls coming in on either this or any other footballing topic from tonight. We're still here until 8 o'clock waiting to hear from you. 01419511025. Mark, I know that sort of praising governing bodies in football is not really a popular pastime. It doesn't really catch on. However, if we were to give credit where it's due, and I know the process still could be refined, if you're one of the lower league clubs, you might not feel the playoffs are structured exactly the way you would want them. But in general, bringing in a pyramid system, bringing in the reintroduction of the playoffs, that would be one of the better things our game's done in recent years, would it not?
Yeah, it's brilliant. Great excitement from the Premiership right down to the Lowland League to create that pathway if you want to get in. You know, even having the thing now that we, you know, junior club and stuff getting the chance to play in the Scottish Cup too. So I think it's modernised. It's great for supporters. It's great drama. It's great television, financial incentives, a chance for players to go and step up and play at a higher level if they want to put themselves in the shop window, all sorts of different things. So Aye, I think it's a real good thing, and it should be here to stay.
Like I say, still taking your calls on any of today's big footballing topics. Let's take another one from Paul, who's in Alexandria. What's on your mind tonight, Paul?
Yeah, I was thinking about the Celtic striking options. Obviously, people talk about Griffiths getting out and loan to get fitness and things.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, is it possible then maybe looking at a formation change and playing two strikers up top, one alongside Edward? So, therefore, it'll obviously keep Griffiths, maybe Bio as well. And Klimala, because he'd be playing two up top rather than just having the lone striker.
Jim Duffy, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, of course, there's the option. You could play 4-4-2 or 3-5-2, you know, if you want to get two strikers. A lot of teams play three at the back because they want two strikers. But under Brendan Rodgers and under Neil Lennon, Celtic have played with one striker. That's been something that's been, you know, pretty much a gimme in the whole time we've been there. They played a 4-2-3-1 with two midfielders. Normally, in Celtic's case, it's McGregor and Brown. Sometimes in Cham plays ahead, then you've got Christie and then whatever wingers, Forrest and Elanussi or whoever else is there. But Edouard's the striker, and they score an unbelievable amount of goals, and they did do previous to that as well. So it's not as if it's a, you know, some people say one striker, we don't score goals. Celtic score a ton of goals. So it's not to say that it couldn't happen, but it would mean that Neil Lennon would have to change, you know, his normal philosophy, which is to play with the one striker with the supporting players. I think, yes, we've always said this on the programme, and there's been a number of fans that have phoned up saying, how can we not play two strikers? But just in the way each manager likes to go about their team selection and the team structure, Celtic generally play with one striker.
Paul, because something has to give behind that then, doesn't it? A midfielder misses out somewhere. Is that something you would like to see? And if so, who makes way for this extra striker?
Well, I think in the midfield, we need to bulk up a bit. We need a stronger midfielder than we've got. I'd like to see McGregor move forward from the sitting role and get a sort of powerhouse in where McGregor would play.
So Ryan Christie then drops out the team.
So who would you leave out? You have to leave someone out. So who would you leave out the team?
That's a tough one, I give you that.
That's the nature of being a manager. You know, you can only play 10 outfield players.
It was more to do with Lennon's previous manager experiences with Celtic. He played with Hooper and Stokes up front, and Hibbs, he liked to play with two up front. I just wondered if maybe that was Vince's thinking. Obviously, with the last couple of fun games, I think we need an extra centre mid in there, because we're vastly outplayed in the midfield.
Would you like to see Wanyama back, Paul, if they could pull off a coup and get him back on loan?
I think every fan would agree that yes, we would love to have Wanyama back.
If you're talking about a powerhouse, he would fit the bill only because he could get him on loan.
Down to a T, but if we're going for the boy from Israel, Zorro,
mm-hmm.
I don't see Wanyama coming back in that case.
Yeah, that looks like one that is getting closer. Emiliano Zorro from Israel, that mm-hmm. sort of defensive midfield type. I mean, Paul makes a very fair point about previous, you know, Stokes and Hooper. It's what happens behind that, like we say. If Paul gets his wish and Callum McGregor moves forward, is all of a sudden Ryan Christie, I mean, that would be unfathomable. He's one of them.
I could only see Celtic doing, and I don't think they will, but I could only see Celtic doing that if they went 3-5-2 to keep three central midfields, see midfielders in there. I can't see them going 4-4-2 when you look at the way Rangers have dominated the middle of the park. So I think that would be the only way that they would go and do it. I don't know much about on the point of Sorrow, I don't know much about them, but Celtic do have good contacts in Israel and have brought in a couple of players from there too, so they seem to be have their finger on the pulse when it comes to getting bargains over there.
Certainly an interesting one, Paul. We will watch that one as the weeks and months progress. Thank you to Paul and Alexandria. 01419511025. Don't forget we are on Twitter as well at Clyde SSB. I'm just thinking back to your own experiences of cup football and so on, Jim. I was having a wee flick through some of your previous games. Would it be safe to say your biggest attempt at a cup shock came in Europe when you lined up against Spurs?
Yep, that was a game when we took the lead with Shamrock Rovers, which was probably the biggest compliment we could have got, that Bale and Modric started getting under, but they didn't need them, do you know what I mean? Because Townsend came at the fore. But no, that was a great experience because I'd missed out at Motherwell because I'd went to Plymouth. So to get the chance, Michael O'Neill had phoned me and he was looking for experience, and he'd go out and played in these six games. We ended up with Neil Poir, but it was a great Spurs, Ruben Kazan and POK Salonikis. But we held our own up to a point. I think we scored in four of the games, but the quality of Spurs showed.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at some of the names. Like you say, Bale and Modric, they didn't have to be unleashed, but Harry Kane scored. I think Jermaine Defoe scored over the two legs. Without, I'm not trying to, you know, compare the two, it is different, but ultimately that type of incentive, that type of challenge, going in there in a game where you're absolute underdogs, but it just doesn't matter, and it's great to be a part of. That's potentially what lies in wait for either you or Stephen on Saturday. Is that the way to look at it?
Well, that's where the tie ends. We look at it this week, and there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of pressure in the sense it's a very winnable game for both teams, and you've got a massive carrot there. And it's no saying you get into the, you prepare for every sort of game to win the game, but you could end up with a huge tie where everybody's wrote you off, and it's a case of going there and enjoying the experience.
So were you operating in your usual left back role? Were you marking Andros Townsend? How was that?
Yes, I was. No, I actually played in front. We played me in front and young Enda Stevens at left back, so we doubled up against him. That still didn't work.
Could you tell back then Harry Kane was going to go on and do great things?
You could tell. He just did the movement, the touch, the eye for goal. Just every time he could get a shot away, he would get a shot away. But Defoe as well, you still see at this age that he's still got the movement, he's still got the touches that he had back then.
Yeah, absolutely. Just quickly check in on the teaser before we take a breather. Tony Higgins asked you the question tonight: can you name 10 managers with the most English Premier League games managed of all time? You're scooshing it so far. That's a technical term. Arsene Wenger, Sir Alex Ferguson, Davy Moyes, Sam Allardyce, Steve Bruce. I'll take one more guess from you, Mark.
Harry Redknapp.
Yes. One more from you, Jim Duffy.
Jose Mourinho.
No, he's just outside the top 10, so he'll probably make it in by the end of the season, or certainly next season. Yes, so you've only got three to get. We'll get them next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. They play to win every time. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi still here. Stephen Swift and Jim Patterson looking ahead to that big all Lowland League clash in the Scottish Cup on Saturday. They're here as well. Just something I wanted to mark your card about. As you well know, the transfer window is open, and now you can swap the sofa for a game thanks to Clyde One Super Scoreboard and Ladbrokes teaming up. So next week, keep an eye out for Ladbrokes transfer window. You can play with the chance to win a ticket for you and a friend to an SPFL match of your choice. So that's the chance to win with Clyde One Super Scoreboard and Ladbrokes.com. Please gamble responsibly. That's one for you to watch out for. I'm sure those tickets will be in high demand, given that everyone's had a few weeks' absence makes the heart grow fonder, as they say. Everyone's desperate to get back out and see the top flight teams in action. What about the English top flight with regards to tonight's question? The question is this: 10 managers with the most English Premier League games managed of all time. You've only got three to get, and remarkably, you've almost done it in order. It's the last three. It's 8, 9 and 10. You've got Wenger, Ferguson, Redknapp, Moyes, Allardyce, Hughes and Bruce with three to go.
Rafa Benitez.
Yes.
Alan Pardew.
No. Okay, we'll leave it there. You've got two to get, eight down and two to go. We've got tweets coming in as well at Clyde SSB. It's not only phone calls that we make the guys answer. Jim McLaughlin wants to know, what are Mark and Jim's views on Zach Rudden? Jim's a Partick Thistle fan. He says, a lot of potential. Can he make a difference to our season?
Yeah, I mean, they went to Falkirk initially and a good start. But I think it's like a lot of younger players coming from the development squad. It's that competitive edge that they need to find. And I think he's a player. I think he's only 19, I think, isn't he? So I don't think he's a player that Ian McCall will think will automatically play week in, week out. I think he's trying to get Brian Graham from Ross County, who's got the experience. He's obviously still got Kenny Miller there. So I think that he'll be a player that he'll try and hope to develop over a period of time. But I think over the next two seasons, beyond this season, I think he'll be a player who he'll look to become an established player. He's certainly got an eye for goal. He's strong, he's quick, but he's just got to get used to the hustle and bustle, if you want to call it that, of the Championship.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was 18 at Falkirk last season, playing in the Championship, got 13 goals. Mm-hmm. in 32 appearances for what you have to remember was a struggling Falkirk side. So the signs, that doesn't mean it automatically happens, but the signs are good.
Yeah, I think, as I said, he's got that knowledge now of being in there. He knows what it's about, so it's not a culture shock to him. But going back to Rangers, and I think that when you go back to Rangers, you know, you maybe think, well, this is my opportunity now to try and force myself into the squad. So it's how he handles the disappointment of being, released. It's, well, whatever it is, some sort of contingency fee. But, you know, getting released from Rangers sometimes can knock the confidence, and it's all about how he reacts to that. Does he go there and say, listen, this is an opportunity, a very good club with real good potential to re-establish myself and move back up the ladder again? And if he does that, then everyone's happy. The Thistle fans are happy, the club's happy, but Thistle need to try and find consistency, because they're still finding themselves, well, they're still second bottom, I think, at this moment in time. So they need that consistency, and they need a regular goal scorer.
Yeah, Mark, we've really enjoyed being able to shine a light on the Championship and League 1 and League 2 in the previous weekends during the winter break. Yeah. You were rained off at the weekend, of course. You were redirected back to your couch. We couldn't find another game for you. But on a serious note, I think what we've realised over the last couple of weeks is Partick Thistle's recruitment could be the difference between them staying up or not, and that you can't put too fine a point on it. It's crucial that they get the right guys in.
Yeah, well, second bottom just now, so yeah, I need to do it. I think Ian McCall's got his eye on a couple of Air United players, but you know, certainly he knows that he would feel the squad that he has at the moment, I think he'd have a concern about staying up. So it is vital that they get two or three in before the closure of the window, and they'll be working hard with Jerry Britton to get a few over the line, and I'm sure they will, and I think they'll be safe. I don't think they'll get into the playoffs, but come four or five games to go, I think they'll be fine.
Let's take a final look ahead to arguably the tie of the round in the Scottish Cup on Saturday. Jim Patterson and Stephen Swift both still with us. They're going head to head, Lowland League rivals, for a place in the fifth round. Stephen, what's the Lowland League like for anyone who hasn't seen it? I know various clubs do attract good numbers. What's the makeup of the squads like? Are there players perhaps who have played senior that have decided to drop down because they're at the end of their career or it suits them, and then maybe some younger players in the opposite direction trying to make their way? What's the balance or the mix like?
Well, speaking for myself, we're kind of like that, where we have got boys that have had good senior careers that drop down, and obviously because we've got financial restraints, we need to then look at loan signing. So I think it's great for the guys to come in and play with guys that have been there and done it, and have that competitive edge, as Jim mentioned. So it's great for us to offer that for other teams. Like, we've got a great relationship with St Johnstone, so for us to kind of offer that for him is great, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I mean, Jim, looking through the squads, and not even this season as well, but East Kilbride over their time in the Lowland League have attracted a couple of players that you think, wow, like that player was perhaps at the top end of Scottish football recently. I think at the moment you've got guys like Craig Reid, just a few seasons ago scored the goal which clinches second place for Motherwell in the top flight. David Proctor, numerous top flight appearances with Inverness. So how do you find the blend overall?
No, the blend's good. You need experience, especially if you want to be up there, compete, win leagues. You do need experienced players, but at the same time, you do need a mix of youth coming through, and you also need a mixture of, if you're bringing boys up for the level below, because you want players that are hungry as well. But for us, for a point of view, our experienced players are extremely professional, and that does actually rub off in the younger boys. And the standard of training, we can be cut. They set their own standards, and they know what I expect of them, but they sort of patrol it on their own, because you could easily have boys coming down, they're coming to the end of their career, coming down to make an extra few quid. But like I said, the boys that I've got at East Kilbride, they really are like still top pros, which makes my job easier.
What's it like as a level and an environment to cut your teeth as a manager? Because I assume, like every other manager, you two have aspirations and you love the Lowland League, but ultimately you're looking up and you're hoping this is the start of something.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. Obviously it's good pitches as well. I mean, we play at Alloa, East Kilbride have got their own AstroTurf as well, so in that respect you can go and play. Me coming from kind of a junior background, it's very difficult to do that. Kind of a lot of it's going back to front, winning second balls, but obviously we're playing in better pitches, you can go and coach better patterns of play and things like that, so that's obviously a positive.
Well, for me, I'd done the assistant manager with Brown when we got promoted at Stenhousemuir, and obviously I was assistant
with Stuart at the tail end of last year. So for me, stepping into the management role is something that I want to do. But I've seen a lot of boys like where you played at a level and they stepped in at a level straight away and they've crashed and burned. Some you've had some success stories, but do you know what I mean? For me personally, I find that learning your trade, do you know what I mean? Learning your trade at this sort of level, making your mistakes at this sort of level, do you know what I mean? And understanding your formations, your team shape, then for me, it is about gaining that experience right now.
I think cup runs help managers. Doesn't matter whether you're domestic, it was in the professional. I remember many years ago when I had a good cup run, I was at Dundee. Straight away, your reputation's enhanced. Sometimes people almost forget the league form at times. So for Stephen and Jim, you know, whoever comes out of this tie is going to have their profile enhanced. Mm. Absolutely. You know, the guys are saying they're not in any rush or anything like that, but they're ambitious, which you've got to be. But whoever wins this tie, not just their players, will have that reputation, that profile. Each of these young managers will have it. So we wish them well and hope it, it's decided by a piece of brilliance and not a piece of refereeing decision or bad luck. So good luck to you.
May the best team win, as they say. We wish you both well on Saturday. There is still time left for us to round off tonight's teaser. What have you got for us? Two more managers. We're looking to complete the top 10. You've got Arsene Wenger, Sir Alex Ferguson, Harry Redknapp, David Moyes, Sam Allardyce, Mark Hughes, Steve Bruce, Rafa Benitez. You've got two to get.
I'm trying to think of ones with at least seven seasons under the belt.
Pulis is close, but he's not on it either.
So I'll go, he must be close. Roy Hodgson?
Nope. He's close, but he's not on it.
Eddie Howe?
Nope.
Alan Kirbishley?
Yes. I thought that's the one you would never get. Jim Patterson's nodded at it as well. I thought that was the one you wouldn't get. In comparison, this one's much more obvious.
It's not Graham Souness, is it?
Nope.
Bobby Robson?
Nope.
Who else have I got? I was going to say David O'Leary, but that's not an obvious one. So,
more obvious because of where we are and our footballing environment.
Scottish.
He's not Scottish, but still, there's a pretty strong link.
Brendan Rodgers.
No, getting closer though. Getting closer on a couple of levels.
Oh, Walter Smith.
No, getting colder.
Mick McCarthy?
No. Former Celtic manager.
Oh, Martin O'Neill.
Yeah. We got there in the end. Thanks to Jim and Stephen for joining us. Best wishes to them at the weekend. Thanks as always to Mark and Jim. But the biggest thanks goes to you. Thank you for all your calls and your tweets. More importantly, thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow night. Gordon DL and Mark Wilson will be here from 6, and Callum is up next.
One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation you deserve. When there's been foul play, talk to Thompson's.com.